This program will be interrupted for any late news development.
All aboard for Vox Pop, the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people, thanks to the makers of Tonight, Vox Pop travels to Camp Butner near Durham, North Carolina, to climax the day set aside in honor of the United States Infantry Rangers. They're the fighters who spearheaded every invasion in the Mediterranean theater of war. And here are your two Vox Poppers, Fox Johnson and Warren Hull. Bring on those Rangers from Camp Butner, North Carolina.
You men of the infantry, what do you think of your buddies, the Rangers? Yes, sir, folks, this is Fox Johnson
and this is Warren Hull.
And what a day this has been. Here at Camp Butner, the Fighting Rangers have been honored by ceremonies and the presentation of awards for combat duty. They've been filmed by the newsreels. They've taken a review. That is, they've stood as a battalion in the reviewing stand and watched a division plus pass in front of them.
Well, it was a thrilling sight and the most important affair ever held at this post. Such well-known people as His Excellency the Governor of North Carolina, J. Melville Broughton, former Secretary of the Navy, Josephus Daniels, Mr. Wendell Wilkie, and others took part.
And Vox Pop is honored to climax this great day by doing the first coast-to-coast broadcast from Camp Butner and chatting with some of the Rangers. We wish we could talk to all of them. Well, here beside me in this huge outdoor theater with an audience, well, it's full. I don't know how many it holds. Our first Ranger went overseas with the 34th Division as an enlisted man. There, he volunteered for the Rangers when they were formed in Scotland. He went through the terrific training that those men take for many months. Then he took part in every Mediterranean operation. He was promoted twice on the battlefield and is now a first lieutenant commanding a company of Rangers. Folks from Des Moines, Iowa, first lieutenant Edwin Backus. Lieutenant Backus, is my information correct? You don't expect to be single very much longer?
That's right.
Well, I'm afraid they didn't hear you. Is that right?
That's right.
That's right. Is she here tonight?
Sitting right over there.
Oh, that pretty lady.
That's right.
Oh. Uh-huh. You going to be married sometime soon?
A couple of days, I think.
I hope.
You hope, huh?
Oh, fine. Well, let's get off of that personal business. We are glad that she's here and that it will happen so very soon. Tell me, offhand, right now, what is a Ranger? So many people seem to be confused. What is a Ranger?
That's a little hard to define.
Well, they're infantry to start with, of course.
That's right. They're infantry, but they're a highly trained branch of the infantry.
Is it correct to say that the infantry, that the Rangers to our army is sort of like the commandos to the British?
That's right. On the same order, yes.
And you train with that same tough kind of stuff?
As rough or maybe a little bit rougher.
Well, tell me a little bit about it, that training over there in Scotland. You say it was rough. I know it was. Tell me something about it. Was it? Did you have live ammunition?
Oh, yes, definitely. Uh-huh. Lots of live ammunition. Plenty of cliff climbing, running, everything.
Is it true that you might be going along and trying to take something and one of your instructors will shoot the bandit off your pack in the back?
That's right.
Really?
Oh, yes.
And how about when you're out paddling in that little rubber boat?
They've shot paddles out of our hands, too.
You mean it really is that live, huh?
That's right.
Well, it doesn't make much difference to you, men, when you go into combat or not, does it?
No, it doesn't, really. The training is always a little bit rougher than the combat ever is. That's the reason they train us that way.
The Rangers out here are echoing. They are okay on that.
That is right.
They know it. It is a fact. Well, you know, of course, Lieutenant, that over here for a long time, we didn't know anything about you Rangers.
That's right. It was kept a secret for a long, long time.
Didn't you want to sort of tell somebody?
Well, everybody wanted to tell. The fact is that we were organized and we were such a small group that they wouldn't let us tell anybody because we were unheard of at that time.
Uh-huh. And yeah, you were feeling so proud of it and couldn't tell us all. Right?
Yeah. We wanted to ride home and tell everybody, but we couldn't tell anybody.
Yeah. And look, where was your first combat?
In Africa, Arzu.
Uh-huh. Was it as tough as you thought it was going to be?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't near as tough as the training that we took.
Aren't you fellows inside the enemy lines about as much as you're on your own side of it?
That's right. Maybe a little more on the enemy side.
Well, that's what you're for, isn't it? But tell me a little bit about the spirit of the Rangers, creed or what have you. You can say...
Well, the spirit of the Rangers, the men have something in them that they just keep going ahead until they think they're going to drop and they still go farther.
You've seen them do it?
Absolutely, many times.
How'd you feel after that day, Lieutenant, in that battalion, the viewing that the division and the special troops? That's the first time, isn't it, that a unit of the United States Army has done that?
I believe that is, yes. They kind of give a guy a thrill. I don't know just how to explain it, but all the fellows who's out there know how I feel about it.
That's a beautiful combat infantry badge you've got on there, too, that we're giving away today. Well, Lieutenant Backus, we're all tremendously proud of the infantry and of that special group of the United States Infantry, the Rangers. It's men with their feet on the ground who have won all wars in history, you know. And tonight from Bromo Salsa, our sponsor, something that we hope you'll like. First of all, it's a cool summer officer's uniform of Palm Beach. Maybe you'll get married in it. Who knows?
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. And we're having helped you in the beginning, yesterday and the day before, hunt for an apartment around here. May we present you with a key and a receipt for the first month's rent on that little apartment? And just a moment. And to each of you on Vox Pop tonight, the beginning of this fifth wall on drive, Vox Pop is presenting a war bond. And we promise you that we'll more than raise that $16 billion. And by the way, in our audience tonight are some 350 members of the Durham, North Carolina War Bond Drive Committee. And we welcome you here, and we want to say that we're all behind you. Thank you a lot, Lieutenant. Very much. Hi, Warren.
Well, here's an old regular Army man. Well, he's not too old. He's 27. Who was one of the first Rangers. He's wearing the new infantry medal in sterling silver on a blue background. It has a rifle with a wreath under it for combat. And he's wearing the Purple Heart. He'd be a tough-looking hombre, except for his smile, which goes with his name. From Louisville, Kentucky, Staff Sergeant James H. Smiley.
How do you do? Quite a crowd.
Yeah, quite a crowd. Smiley, you're the battalion mess sergeant, I know. Now, isn't that a sort of a thankless job? Don't you take a lot of ribbing?
Yes, but you have to take a lot of ribbon to be a good mess sergeant.
Yeah? I mean, you have no business being a mess sergeant, huh?
You have no business being a mess sergeant if you can't take a good ribbon.
Yeah, I see. Well, you fed the Rangers to every invasion they made?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You made this...
I made it possible for them to live when they could get the right kind of food.
Well, were you famous for your food, Smiley?
Well, sometimes yes and sometimes no.
Yeah.
Rations
are
good.
Oh, I see. Well, is there any particular instance that you remember about your food?
Yes, I remember last Thanksgiving. It was a very nice dinner. In fact, the fellows were very enjoyed over the dinner. And
what did you have?
Well, I had turkey and blueberry pie and, well, many other ingredients that goes with it.
Mm-hmm. That was quite a meal. Where were you? Back in bivouac?
No, I should say not. We were right on the front. Shells were flying everywhere.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, how did the men eat under those circumstances?
Well, it was raining very hard that day, so they just sat down and said, "God, to hell with it, rest and we'll eat our dinner anyway."
Well, that's the Rangers. Did you take any out to the men in the foxholes?
Yes, in fact, we did. We have a very special friend that's been with us now for quite a while. The Red Cross man, in fact, Mr. Jackson. He's taking food out to the fellows in the foxhole.
That was a good job.
Very
hey, you were right up there where your cook shack's ever hit.
Oh, it looked like a sister when Jerry got through with it.
Well, how about your crew?
Well, sometimes my crew was very nervous, but I kind of calmed them down to take it easy because I said... They start shelling very hard. I said, just duck behind the stove, and they did so. I've seen one fellow, in fact, he was trying to serve some stew, and they were shelling very hard, so he just ducked behind the stove and left his hand up over the top, you know, kind of stirring because it was burning.
Well, did you ever go up right onto the battlefield?
Yes, in fact, I did. I taken three of my fellows, four of counting me, and we went up and got some fellows off the front, off a big mountain. They had a very, very tough job that day, and they were short of men, so they came down and said, we're very short of men today, and we have to go up and...
So you went?
Yes, I went, and taking the fellows up.
Did you have a tough time getting them up?
Yes, it was taken us about 6.5 hours to bring to evacuate one fellow off the mountain. It was a very steep mountain that day. In fact, I ran into a, quite a problem when I got up there. One of the fellows told me, Sergeant Cook, he says to me, he says, what time will chow be ready? And shells flying around, that's no time to talk to something like that.
Now, well, Smiley, no wonder the men all swear by you, not at you. Smiley, do you have any idea what you're going to do after the war?
Yes, in fact, I have. I'm going to build me a cafe down in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, and I'm going to name it the Ranger's Cafe, Smiley's Ranger Cafe. And if any people would like to send in the name, suggesting a good name for this...
You mean a different name?
Well, no. In fact, they can name it something about the Rangers, but it must be Smiley's Ranger Cafe, something like that.
All right.
I insist.
You're going to have your way anyway. Well, Smiley, Box Pop is going to be traveling through that part of the country sometime after the war, and we want to look you up. And we'll stop by for some of your steak and mashed potatoes.
All right, you just stop by and ask for Smiley, the old famous cook, and they'll all know him.
Sure. Boy, he's getting a lot of plugs in here for that restaurant tonight. Well, Smiley, so you remember us when we walk in. Bromo Seltzer has for you that most important war bond and a heavy gold man's ring with a cameo carved in a black onyx. And for your home in Louisville, this buffet wagon of lime dope. It has 3 casserole thermal servers to keep food hot or cold, has salt, pepper, salad oil, and mustard containers, has 6 glasses and a serving tray. And, oh, wait a minute, to make you look official while presiding over it, here is a very tall, white chef cap.
See, this, I'm more proud of this than everything.
Well,
this
much
is
all.
Thank you, Scott Cotton. Dan Great Smiley.
Friends, Warren and I have talked a lot about the grand and glorious results that Bromo Seltzer gives from the miseries of a common thick headache.
That we have. But, folks, there's no getting around it. Until you try Bromo Seltzer yourself, you just can't have any idea how grand, how glorious those results really are. Right, Chappy?
Right as rain, Warren. That's why we urge you to try Bromo Seltzer, friends. We want you to compare it with whatever you've been using. And when you do, when you see what quick, effective relief Bromo Seltzer gives, you're going to be every bit as surprised and delighted as was Mrs. George Herbert of New York City first time she tried it. Her husband's letter tells the story.
Occasionally, my wife suffers from a sick headache. In the past, she's refused to take anything to relieve it, saying that medicines upset her stomach. Recently, however, after suffering for a while with a miserable headache, she asked me to get her something.
And you got?
Bromo Seltzer, of course. She took some, and in a short while, she said with a smile, why didn't someone tell me that Bromo Seltzer relieves headaches so quickly?
Yeah, you see, friend, that's what I mean. We keep telling you what quick, effective relief Bromo Seltzer gives, but until you actually try it yourself, you can't know how grand and glorious that relief is. So, friends, don't put up with the suffering of an ordinary headache. Take Bromo Seltzer. Feel better fast.
Thanks, Chappie, and more of Colonel Roy Murray Jr.'s Rangers from down here at Camp Butner. In the Army at 18, in the Deadly Rangers at 19, buried alive on his 21st birthday, this 21-year-old technical sergeant is a typical fighting Ranger. Medium height and weight, he can and has licked several times his size in German. Folks, from Des Moines, Iowa, Technical Sergeant Lester B. Cook.
You don't know yourself, do you, Lester?
No, but that build-up, I don't.
That build-up was none too strong, old boy. Tell me, are you married?
No, not yet.
Oh, well then, you have thoughts along that line?
Certainly.
Serious?
Solid time.
Solid? Uh-huh. Well, where is she and what is she?
She's a whack. She's up at Fort Des Moines now.
Attaboy. You're in favor of that, aren't you?
Sure.
Very
before
much.
I get back
here. Yeah, attaboy. You think it'll be any time soon?
Oh, in the next couple weeks.
We hope so, don't we? Well, luck to you on that. Of course, we all wish you that. Tell me, what's the nickname? What do they call you?
Miss Cookie.
Cookie, huh? What was your first actual combat?
In RZ, Africa.
Yeah?
On the
well,
invasion.
Was it as tough as you expected?
No, I got in there. I tried to tell myself it was in enemy territory. I couldn't realize it. There's no shooting or nothing going on.
No? Well, what were you then, a buck private or
no,
corporal there.
You were a corporal, huh?
Yeah, I carried a BAR.
What's that, a Browning automatic, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
You're platoon leader now, aren't you?
That's right.
Yeah? Well, have you been in all these range actions, all the Mediterranean theater?
I have.
They come out pretty good.
Didn't I didn't get to even scratch.
Yeah. I was saying what he did to the other fella. Well, in combat, what's the highest you got? Did you have a platoon or did you lead a section?
No, I led a section.
You led a section.
I didn't get to be platoon sergeant until we pulled back.
You remember the first time you led your section in combat?
Sure it is. It was over landing at Gila. It goes up through the town and things go along pretty easy. And a couple days later, I lined up the company and the Lieutenant Kness told me, said that I had the best section there because it kept good contact, never got lost. And when I needed them, why, they was on the ball there.
Made you feel pretty good, didn't it?
Warm my chest and I'd bust the buttons off my shirt and throw them guys.
How old were you then, could you? How old were you then?
I was 20 then.
20 then, section leader. Yes. Well, say, tell me, how did you celebrate that 21st birthday of yours? Tell me the story.
Okay. I was, we dug a foxhole up on this hill. We dug them pretty good because we'd been there for quite some time. So I made a little cave out of mine and dug about, had about 2.5-foot dirt roof over it. I'm in there on my birthday and smoking my pipe and taking it easy, and an 88 comes over and hits on top of it. Caves is all in on me except my feet.
You mean they're sticking out of the top and you're hitting the bottom?
That's right.
Gee, you could smother that, couldn't you?
Well, I had my helmet over about half my face. I didn't get my face in the dirt at all.
Yeah?
A couple of guys in the fossil right at the end, they stood up to see what was happening, and they seen me and they grabbed me and pulled me out.
Yeah, lucky for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it certainly was.
Then what'd you do?
I went and got the biggest foxhole there was in the area and stayed there the rest of the time. I was going to make sure I'd get to be 21 years old before old Jerry got me.
Well, you had plenty of food and smoke?
No, I had to dig them out of the where it was buried.
Oh, you mean I was biking your own foxhole?
Yeah,
that was
my own foxhole.
Well, we're glad you got to be 21. We hope you'll be 41. We hope you'll be 61 and 71. And luck, all the luck in the world to you, because you certainly got it coming to you. And all kidding aside, we did know you were going to be married soon. So Bromo Seltzer through Vox Pop has for you a chest of flat-plated silver, complete serving for eight. Can you use it?
That's okay. On the ball.
And then, of course, Here's your war bond, too. And to keep you in something to read for the rest of your life, knowing that you like it, a life subscription to Reader's Digest. That suit you?
Oh, that's on the ball.
Just a minute, Cookie. Another little matter that you see, every time I've seen you, you've had a comic book in your hand.
That's right.
So Dave went out and he bought all the comic books he could find in Durham, and here you are. So long, Sergeant Lester Cook. Thank you, old folks.
You know, the Rangers are credited with 5 campaigns. Here's a man who was in all 6 of them. He's seen a lot of fighting in the last few years. His medals have more clusters than a grapevine. Doesn't have more on tonight. He's only 23, up from the ranks of one of the first Rangers to volunteer. From Quincy, Massachusetts, a very swell-looking guy, Captain Charles B. Simpson. To show you what sort of men these Rangers are, you don't call him Captain, you just call him Chuck. So, Chuck, help me clear up that statement about you being in all 6 of the Rangers' 5 campaigns, will you?
Well, it's the 6th one isn't official yet, Warren, but we expect it to be soon. The first one was Dieppe, the second one was Africa, the third one was Tunisia, the 4th one was Sicily, and the 5th one was Italy, and the 6th one, because it is a very memorable campaign to all of us, was Anfield.
Oh, I see. That was the last one for you fellas, wasn't it?
That's right.
Well, you were at Dieppe. What can you tell us about it? You know, some people have called it a failure.
It was not a failure in my mind, Warren, because I, as everybody probably knows, it's been called a dress rehearsal. It's a bigger thing. And to me, I think it was just that. And we learned a lot as Rangers and infantry and whatever took place, whatever took part in the raid.
Well, all the tricks you learned there and in the Mediterranean were used in the invasion, weren't they?
I'm sure that they were. We did.
What do you know about the Rangers' part in the invasion?
We, Lieutenant Backus explained in the past, do a special job. Mm-hmm. And from what we learned on Dieppe, And Africa and Sicily and other invasions that we took part in, each time we learned something new and the next invasion improved on it.
So when the news all comes out, the Rangers over there now are going to be right up there.
That's right, Warren. Hmm.
Well, Chuck, how do you Rangers and the Commando, two of the fightingest outfits in the world, get on together?
Very fine, very fine. I've never seen two different armies get along so well. In fact, all you have to do is go up to a Ranger or a Commando and mention each other's name and their eyes glisten.
Ah, fine. What was the hardest battle that you were in over there?
The center, Warren.
Well, you mean that's where the two battalions of Rangers were surrounded and captured and killed by the Germans?
That's right, Warren.
What can you tell us about it?
Not much. It was a pretty tough battle. And it's probably something that a good many red-blooded soldiers would like to see. Plenty of Germans, plenty of tanks, plenty of bullets flying around. And the old Rangers really in there pitching and putting out to the hot stent.
That's where you were captured, wasn't it?
That's right, Warren.
Mm-hmm. Well, we heard that Sally, the German Tokyo Rose, broadcast that the dashing Ranger Captain Shumstrom captured Rome riding on the back of a pushcart with German guards. And also that he was up in her apartment having a wonderful time and she asked the rest of the Rangers to come over and join the party. What about that? Huh?
Well, if Sally's listening in, I'll tell her that I appreciated the swell time, but I was sorry I had to leave. In fact, the reason I did leave was I couldn't forget that old Smiley had promised me some steak and potatoes when I get back.
Well, Sally couldn't hold you, huh?
No, she couldn't.
Well, is there any other message that you'd like to send Sally?
I'd like to just say to Sally that I've given her phone number and her address to a couple of my buddies, and they'll be stopping in to see her one of these days.
Not on a pushcart, huh?
Not on a pushcart, on a tank.
He's not kidding, Sally. Well, thanks very much, Chuck, Captain Charles B. Shumstrom, for helping us get acquainted with the Rangers. Romo Seltzer has for you, first, your war bond, and a Zippo windproof lighter and a stubby custom-built pipe of imported Algerian briar. I knew it'll look good. And these will interest Mrs. Shumstrom, a matching pair of red pole table lamps. They're beauties. And this will interest your cute little 20-month-old daughter, Monkey, as you call her. On the way to your home right now is a large canvas wading pool with a sturdy frame for your backyard. It's even large enough for all three of you to sit in on a hot day. That's a picture. Thanks very much and good luck to you, Captain Charles B. Shumstrom.
Thank you.
Folks, the old saying, experience is your best teacher, certainly is true when it comes to Romo Seltzer.
Sure. Until you try Romo Seltzer yourself, you can't begin to appreciate what really fast, effective relief it gives from the miseries of an ordinary headache. Here's why.
Fight the headache three ways.
Romo Seltzer, Romo Seltzer, Romo Seltzer, Romo Seltzer.
Yes, sir, that's the reason. Romo Seltzer fights headache not one, not two, but three ways. And that makes real sense. After all, what's the use of kidding ourselves? There's no point in fighting a headache just one way when we all know a common sick headache may mean three-way misery, aching head, accompanied by upset stomach, and jumpy nerves. But Romo Seltzer gives the three-way relief you want and need because it acts three ways, on head, nerves, and stomach.
You can take Romo Seltzer while it's still fizzing or after it settles down. Use as directed on the package. For persistent or recurring headaches, to your doctor.
But when it comes to a common sick headache, don't be satisfied with anything that does less for you than Romo Seltzer. Remember, for quick, effective relief from the aching head pain,
Romo Seltzer, Romo Seltzer, Romo Seltzer.
To quickly help settle upset stomach,
Romo Seltzer, Romo Seltzer, Romo Seltzer.
To quickly help calm jumpy nerves,
Romo Seltzer, Romo Seltzer, Romo Seltzer.
Get Romo Seltzer from your druggist tonight.
Our old talking Romo Seltzer trainers brought us back down to Camp Butner and to a man who really knows these Rangers. Tall, vigorous, with iron gray hair, friendly, a regular fella, they call him. He is the American Red Cross field director assigned to the Ranger Battalion, and he's been through many a tough scrap with them, too. Folks from Fort Thomas, Kentucky, Mr. Gordon Jackson, affectionately known by all the Rangers as Jack.
Hang on, Jack. Say, Jack, except for that Red Cross insignia, I really would think you are a Ranger.
Well, sir, I am a Ranger.
Is that right, fellas? Is he a Ranger? You bet. And right here, I do want to stop and congratulate you on that infantry combat medal that's proudly on your chest. It was wonderful to see you and all the rest of the men get that this afternoon.
How'd you happen to go with the Ranger?
Well, sir, Red Cross had me in headquarters, and it took me a long time to talk them out of headquarters to go with the Rangers.
You just wanted the Rangers?
Just wanted the Rangers, no other outfit.
Just wouldn't have anything but the Rangers?
Absolutely not.
And where were you mostly with them?
Well, sir, through the Italian campaign.
Uh-huh. You been under fire with them?
Yes, sir.
Yeah?
Yes, sir.
Tell me, what is your job? What do you do out there? I know you do everything, but let's get into some of it. Take supplies, for instance.
Well, I usually manage to keep a good line of supplies. I'd have magazines and books and complete line of toilet articles. Candy.
Pretty close to the front?
Well, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes. Sometimes I got it up pretty close to the boys, or up to them when they were pretty close to the front.
Toothbrushes and things like that?
Yes, sir. Complete line of supplies.
Toothbrushes. That reminds me of a story a fellow told about how the fellow's always wanting them to clean the rifles with. Is that right?
Well, that's correct. I recall one case that I had of toothbrushes weren't too plentiful at the time, and I had one boy that came in and asked me for a toothbrush, and I asked him if he wanted to clean his teeth with or his rifle. And he looked at me and said, well, I'll be honest with you, I wanted to clean my rifle with. The heck with my teeth, he said. My rifle's a whole lot more important than my teeth are right now.
Knew what he was talking about, didn't
he? He certainly did.
Ever visit a man up in the foxholes?
Yes, sir, I have.
Why, yeah. On official business or something? Did you have a message? Or...
Well, yes. My message system worked fairly good right at the front. The message center, on a number of occasions, would get any emergency cablegrams right up to me at the front, and I would deliver it to the boys. It was an extreme emergency.
Even if they're sitting up there peppering away to Germans, eh?
Yes, sir. That's right.
That's what the old Red Cross does, folks. We know it. Say, Warren, suppose we get Jack Slant on some of these men that we've been talking to around here. How about it, Jack?
Well, Jack, I'd like to ask you. You know, you've been through a lot with these fellows. Just what do you think of the Rangers?
Well, I think they're the greatest bunch of fellows that are in this man's army today.
Uh-huh.
They're just tops, every one of them. There's a lot of boys here. Every one of the Rangers out in the audience are just as good a boys, I believe, as the boys that are up here and been on this program all the way through.
Sure they are.
They're just a fine bunch.
Any fellow in particular that you remember?
Well, I don't know. I just I think one is just about as good as the other. There's one particular boy I have in mind at the present time, Warren Falk, that is quite an outstanding boy.
He's right here on this.
Sure,
panel,
sir. He's right.
Well, you haven't. Tell us about him before he comes here. What about him?
Well, I don't know. He's just a good boy all the way through. Just a good hunk of dynamite.
Well, I heard that he was wounded. And that while he was in the convalescent hospital, he heard that his outfit was going into a big battle, and he just walked out of the place and hitchhiked all the way back.
That's correct, and that's true of a lot of the other boys, too.
Well, I'd like to introduce this fellow. We saw him decorated this afternoon over there. He's 23 years old, from Liberty, Kentucky, Warren Falk. Let's have a hand for Warren. Warren, by the way, were your knees shaking this afternoon when you were standing out there on the parade ground with a colonel reading your citation?
Well, I don't know. They might have been shaking a little bit.
About like this?
Yeah, not bad now.
Well, say, it was pretty far from the convalescent hospital back to your outfit, wasn't it?
It was about 800 miles, something like that.
Well, how in the world did you make it?
Well, we went out to the airport and managed to talk to one of the pilots and get us up on a plane.
What kind of a plane?
A C-47, the hospital transport.
Oh, one of those hospitals.
Yeah, same time we came back to hospital.
And that's how you got up there, huh?
Yeah, it took less than a day. We never missed a meal on the way.
Well, you can't keep these Rangers down. You can't keep them hungry either, can
you? No, want to go someplace.
Say, what was it like to come home after 2 years away?
Well, it's pretty swell to be home. I was married just a little while before I left. And naturally, I was glad to get back to my wife. And I had a boy born while I was gone. I'd like to see him, too.
No, and they saw him for the first time, huh?
Both of you, Warrens, I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's time now to hand over the gifts to these fellows that Romo Salsa has here for us. Now, friend Jackson, come over. First of all, it's a dinner service for eight in fine English Wedgwood china for you and your wife, cornflower pattern. Second, a pre-war top grain leather two-suiter suitcase. Can you use that?
Yes, sir, I certainly can.
And, of course, that war bond. And for you, Warren folks, your bond, of course. And a sturdy backyard seesaw for that young son of yours.
Fine.
Ah, good. And a nifty Eastman Kodak that you can snap pictures of him when you see him. And knowing how tough travel is these days, and Vox Pop certainly should know, we've got a railroad ticket with Pullman for your wife and youngster so they can come down to see you in comfort. Right. How about that, all right? Thank you a lot, Jack. Certainly have enjoyed talking to the Red Cross.
Thank you, Warren. Too.
Yes, sir, folks, now you know why Vox Pop came to Camp Butner for its special observance of Infantry Day, a day honoring the most glamorous, the finest outfit in the infantry, the Rangers.
Yes, we'll never forget these fellows. And next week, folks, Vox Pop will be in St. Louis, Missouri, talking with Uncle Joe Casino and some of his 2,000 nephews. Uncle Joe is a great character. He's Boys Work Secretary of the St. Louis YMCA, and he's established over 50 boys clubs.
If you remember the Highlander boys in Denver last Christmas, then you know we're going to have a humdinger of a broadcast next week. So don't miss us next Monday, folks. Good night.
So long, everybody.
Be sure to join Vox Pop, the show that travels America, next Monday night, same time, same station, when Fox and Warren visit St. Louis, Missouri. Meanwhile, friends, remember...
Fight a headache three ways.
This is Ernest Chappell speaking for Bromo Seltzer and bidding you good night.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.